the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome!
Oh, Randy, it's good to be alive.
I love being alive. Ladies, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to show number 159. I can't believe it. I got to tell you, listeners, yes. Bill and I, for what must be for at least the last dozen shows, have been in different cities.
Yeah, we have.
And it's going to get worse because I'm actually coming to America in 10 days. Well, 10 days from
now. Oh, my God.
From now.
And I'm
going to do a show.
I'm
going to do
a
show.
I'm building a wall against Randy.
I'm building a wall. Now, anyway, I'm going to America. I was there same time last year. I'll be there for the run-up to the election.
So, NSA, take notes.
Yeah, take notes. I've already voted absentee. Have you voted yet, Bill?
I sure have.
Yes, I voted absentee, sent it in. It's not easy to do, but at least I did it. And I'm very proud. I didn't get the little sticker, but I put one on my web page.
Yeah.
That said, I voted, therefore I can complain.
That's right, goddammit. And everybody should get out and vote. Brandy, we had a debate.
We did.
And I got to tell you.
The two leaders of the two major parties had a debate.
I'll tell you. That was the most fun I've had for 90 minutes with my pants on for a very long time.
Well, look, take them off. Take them off, and the debate was still more fun.
Oh, my God. I watched that thing because I've been sitting there, and I've been criticizing Hillary a lot. And I want to say this to Hillary Clinton. I know you don't listen. Maybe somebody does. Those 90 minutes... I have never been more in love with a woman.
Did you get a bit of wood? Did you a bit semi?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
grandma.
Is starting to look very attractive to me.
Well, look, she's 70 years old.
She kicked ass.
Oh, did she?
God,
ever.
She was great.
Look, Bill,
I was just thrilled.
I just have to tell the listeners before we actually start recording. We end up just having a chat, and sometimes that chat is really funny. We were talking about, you know, how Trump says, she's just not pretty. She's just not presidential. This is the guy that says vagina is expensive and kisses his daughter with tongue.
Oh, my God.
And anyway, but the thing is, we were saying, but look at some of the great leaders. You know, we had Indira Gandhi. She was a bit frumpy and sorry.
She doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah. And what
she
about
Martha
Thatcher? She had so
Martha
much
Thatcher, no tits.
Had so much hairspray.
No tits at all.
So much hairspray. If anybody ever let a match, her head would explode. And of course, one of the first female presidents of a major country was Golda Meir.
Golda
Meir.
Yeah,
she was not a big beauty contest winner.
She wasn't good looking for me.
She was a fabulous leader. Of course, Golda Meir was, and she was one of the first leaders. Of course, just last week, the last of the original Haganah leaders, Shimon Peres, passed away.
Yeah.
One of the original people who was there in 1948.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's the end of an era.
Yeah, that is the end of an era. But let's get back to the debate there, Randy.
No. I want to say one more thing. We forgot well, I'm not going to stop just because your name's on the show. We missed Phyllis Schlafly.
What?
She went... with a whimper, not a bang.
Oh, Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah, Phyllis Schlafly passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. There was a disturbance in the force. I felt it.
Well, I said, how are you? Somebody says Phyllis Schlafly is dead, and I immediately texted back, how can you tell? maybe a stake through the heart. Would help. But
I was sitting there in my Star Wars room at home. And I was sitting there doing my Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I was sitting there going, there's a crazy old lady that has died. The force is stronger now.
I don't know how many posts I saw with the ruby slippers sticking out from under the house. Ding dong, which
yeah,
is dead.
I know. Well, for the benefit of all those people who maybe don't know Phyllis Schlafly, you haven't missed anything. So let's get back to Randall. There was a debate. This was an amazing debate in which Hillary Clinton, yes, that was the sound of every person who has to clean up after Donald after he opens his pie hole. So now what I've done is I've actually stitched together this lovely ass kicking. By the way, Hillary, you're in my black book. I swear to God. And I'm not being sexist. I found you very attractive. It's not many times that you can sit back and watch a nerd beat the fuck out of a bully. And that was just fantastic. So here it is, Randall. Take notes, because we're going to react. We're going to react to this. This is my clips of the first debate in which Hillary just kicked some fucking ass. And by the way, sniff, sniff.
Donald was very fortunate in his life. And
my father gave me a very small loan in 1975, and I built it into a company that's worth many, many billions of dollars. And I say that only because that's the kind of thinking that our country needs. In all fairness to Secretary Clinton, yes, is that okay? Good. I want you to be very happy. It's very important to me. But in all fairness to Secretary Clinton,
Donald was one of the people who rooted for the housing crisis. He said back in 2006, gee, I hope it does collapse, because then I can go in and buy some and make some money. Well, it did collapse.
That's called business, by the way.
9 million people lost their jobs. 5 million people lost their homes, and $13 trillion in family wealth was wiped out.
She talks about solar panels. We invested in a solar company, our country. That was a disaster. They lost plenty of money on that one.
Donald, I know you live in your own reality, but that is not the fact.
She's telling us how to fight ISIS. Just go to her website. She tells you how to fight ISIS on her website. I don't think General Douglas MacArthur would like that too much.
The next segment, we're continuing
the
subject.
Well, at least I have a plan to fight ISIS.
No, you're telling the enemy everything you want to do.
No, we're not.
See, you're telling the enemy everything you want to do. No wonder you've been fighting. No wonder you've been fighting ISIS your entire adult life. I'm going to cut taxes big league, and you're going to raise taxes big league. End of story.
I kind of assumed that there would be a lot of these charges and claims. And so I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? Join the debate by saying more crazy things. Now, let me say,
there's nothing crazy about not letting our companies bring their money back into their country.
This is Secretary Clinton's 2 minutes, yes, please.
Yeah, well, let's start the clock again, Lester. But when I look at what you have proposed, you have what is called now the Trump loophole, because it would so advantage you and the business you do. You've proposed an approach that has a $4 billion tax benefit for your family. And when you look at what
you are proposing,
trumped up trickle down. Making college debt free so more young people can get their education. Helping people refinance their debt from college at a lower rate. Those are the kinds of things that will really boost the economy. Broad-based, inclusive growth is what we need in America.
Typical politician, all talk, no action, sounds good, doesn't work, never going to happen, and we have a Fed that's doing political things.
You've got to ask yourself, why won't he release his tax returns? And I think there may be a couple of reasons. First, maybe he's not as rich as he says he is. Second, maybe he's not as charitable as he claims to be. Third, we don't know all of his business dealings, but We have been told through investigative reporting that he owes about $650 million to Wall Street and foreign banks. Or maybe he doesn't want the American people, all of you watching tonight, to know that he's paid nothing in federal taxes, because the only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license, and they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero, that means zero for troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health. And I think probably he's not all that enthusiastic about having the rest of our country see what the real reasons are, because it must be something really important, even terrible, that he's trying to hide. And I have no reason to believe that he's ever going to release his tax returns, because there's something he's hiding. The question is, were he ever to get near the White House, what would be those conflicts? Who does he owe money to? Well, he owes you the answers to that, and he should provide them.
I've been under audit almost for 15 years. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes when she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted. I am very underleveraged. I have a great company. I have a tremendous income. And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way, and we don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
What's your
and
response?
Maybe
and we'll
because you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years. And the other thing I think is important.
It would be squandered too, believe me.
If your main claim to be president of the United States is your business, then I think we should talk about that. And indeed, I have met a lot of the people who were stiffed by you and your businesses, Donald. Dishwashers, painters, architects. We have an architect in the audience who designed one of your clubhouses at one of your golf courses. It's a beautiful facility. It immediately was put to use, and you wouldn't pay what the man needed to be paid, what he was charging you.
Maybe he didn't do a good job, and I was unsatisfied with his work, which our country should do too.
Thousands of people that you've taken business bankruptcy six times. There are a lot of great business people that have never taken bankruptcy once. You call yourself the king of debt. You talk about leverage. You even at one time suggested that you would try to negotiate down the
Wrong.
National debt of the
Wrong.
United States.
Look, it's all words. It's all sound bites. I built an unbelievable company, but I take advantage of the laws of the nation. A couple of words, and that's law and order. Over four... cities, and I just left Detroit, and I just left Philadelphia, and I just, you know, you've seen me. I've been all over the place. You decided to stay home, and that's okay.
I think Donald just criticized me for preparing for this debate. And yes, I did. And you know what else I prepared for? I prepared to be president, and I think that's a good thing.
In the last couple of weeks, you acknowledged when birth certificate was produced in 2011, you continued to tell the story and question the president's legitimacy in 2012, 13, 14, 15,
yeah.
As recently as January. So the question is, what changed your
Well,
mind?
Nobody was pressing it. Nobody was caring much about it. But I was the one that got him to produce the birth certificate, and I think I did a good job.
We're talking about racial healing in this segment. What do you say to Americans?
Well, it was very, I say nothing.
Color.
I say nothing because I was able to get him to produce it. He should have produced it a long time before. I say nothing. But let me just tell you, when you talk about healing, I think that I've developed very, very good relationships over the last little while with the African American community. I think you can see that. And I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion, and I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, just listen to what you heard. Started his political activity based on this racist lie that our first black president was not an American citizen. But remember, Donald started his career back in 1973 being sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination because he would not rent apartments in one of his developments to African Americans, and he made sure that the people who worked for him understood that was the policy. And the birther lie was a very hurtful one. You know, Barack Obama is a man of great dignity, and I could tell how much it bothered him and annoyed him that this was being touted and used against him. But I like to remember what Michelle Obama said in her amazing speech at our Democratic National Convention. When they go low, we go high.
Not support the war in Iraq.
2002.
That is a mainstream media nonsense put out by her because she, frankly, I think the best person in her campaign is mainstream media.
Donald supported the invasion of Iraq.
Wrong.
That is absolutely
wrong.
Proved over and over again.
Wrong. Maybe it was. I mean, it could be Russia, but it could also be China. It could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay? I then spoke to Sean Hannity, which everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. I had numerous conversations with Sean Hannity at Fox, and Sean Hannity said, and he called me the other day, and I spoke to him about it. He said, you were totally against war, because he was for the war.
What?
Sean Hannity said very strongly, nobody calls Sean Hannity. If somebody would call up Sean Hannity, this was before the war started, you didn't hear what I said.
Why is your judgment any different than Mrs. Clinton?
Well, I have much better judgment than she does. There's no question about that. I also have a much better temperament than she has. You know, I have a much better, I think my strongest asset, maybe by far, is my temperament. I have a winning temperament. I know how to win.
Secretary Clinton.
Woo! Okay. So a man who can be provoked by a tweet should not have his fingers anywhere near the nuclear codes, as far as I think anyone with any sense about this should be concerned.
That line's getting a little bit old, I must say. Listen,
it's a good one, though.
I would like to,
well, describes the problem.
It's not an accurate one at all. It's not an accurate one.
Mr. Trump, this year, Secretary Clinton became the first woman nominated for president by a major party. Earlier this month, you said she doesn't have, quote, a presidential look. She's standing here right now. What did you mean by that?
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina. And I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
Let's let her respond.
Well, as soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
The world, let me tell you.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs, and someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers, who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men. And one of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Name
it?
Is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find
and
it?
She has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good.
Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
That was badass.
Yes. And Hillary had a great pair of shears for cutting off his nuts.
Yeah, that's right, man.
She cut them off, and she squeezed them, and they popped.
Badass.
They popped like a grape.
Badass. I love the fact that
Where did you get that?
Where did you get it?
And he's like, I never said that. Where'd you come? Yeah.
Anyway. Oh my God! There are so many things that he says. He says that I didn't pay any taxes, but you know what? That's good business.
Yeah. No. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
God.
Bill. The debate. I think he just lost.
Oh, are you kidding me? I have never seen anyone absolutely destroyed. I mean, he was fucking mutilated. She killed him. And you know what I love about this?
I said she didn't have a presidential look. She doesn't have stamina.
She has no fucking stamina.
Yeah.
And my favorite. Oh, my favorite. This is my favorite. One of the best things about me is my temperament. And the entire audience just can't stop laughing.
Yeah.
Because this guy has been chewing at furniture for 90 minutes. And then, what's just beautiful, I've got a clip in the next clip.
Where did you get that? Where did you get that?
I put it together myself.
Where did you get? Where did you hear that?
I never said that.
I never called her a cleaning lady.
Yeah, that's the Trump thing. Anyway, this is Donald got on the video machine. And he had to start making excuses as to why he sucks so bad. So this is Donald with his interview right after on Fox and Friends.
There was something wrong with his microphone.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. He thinks it might be a conspiracy.
You call Here's Hannity. Donald. You call Hannity. You call
Someone
Hannity.
Call Hannity.
Somebody call Hannity.
You know what? I forget who said it. Who said that? It was like a Jewish mother going, "You should call Hannity. He's a beautiful boy. Yeah.
But the
You're not getting any younger."
But the thing is, he says, "This time I'm going to invade Iraq and get it right." I mean, the fact that we invaded, U.S. invaded Iraq twice.
Oh yeah,
twice.
Yeah. And then the fact that there is a tape of him saying, "Do you want to go on the right?" Yeah, I think that's all right.
Yeah.
I wish we had done it better the first time. So not only did he say that he wanted to go to Iraq in that interview, which I heard, he also said that he would have stayed longer in the previous war.
Yeah, and get it right. Get it right this time. Look,
Donald knows best.
Vagina is expensive. Yeah, go on.
Here's Uncle Donald trying to clean up his own mess on Fox and Friends. This is great. Here it is.
There, you know, if we're going to rely all the time on the fact checkers who also have an agenda, then we could discuss that as well. But the American people can make a decision here. Decision's got to be if they're going to worry about whether Donald Trump got one or two facts wrong tonight, which I'm sure he must have.
So how did you think it went last night?
I thought it went really well. I mean, I had some hostile questions, but that was okay. I had a problem with a microphone that didn't work. I don't know if you saw that in the room, but my microphone was terrible. I wonder, was it set up that way on purpose? Last four questions, he hit me on...
Boom, boom, boom.
Bertha, he hit me on a housing deal from many years ago. My microphone in the room, they couldn't hear me. You know, it was going on and off.
Wow.
Which isn't exactly great. I wonder if it was set up that way. He asked me about that. That's a beauty to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to believe in conspiracy theories, of course, but it was much lower than hers, and it was crackling, and she didn't have that problem. I was asked about my tax returns, which I've told about 500 times. Those questions are not answerable in a positive light.
What you said last week, he was a scared, whiny little bitch. He was just like,
whiny little bitch.
That's right. Give it up for what you said last week.
Whiny little bitch.
That's right.
Whiny little bitch.
That's right.
Whiny little bitch.
That's right.
S. Randall. He's a whiny little bitch.
A scared, whiny little bitch. Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking pussy. What a fucking pussy. He's such a... You know the thing with Trump? Trump is so ideally the bully in school who, if you take him out, whimpers like a fucking little bitch sit there about, on the ground.
But that thing with the mic, my microphone didn't work. I don't know if they intended that or hers worked.
Because it's a conspiracy. At the techs, the sound techs at the university at Ofstra, they're in on it.
And after the debate, yet another one of his people has resigned.
Yeah, you know, and he's sitting there saying, yeah, that's right. And he's sitting there saying the problem was that people couldn't hear what he was saying. No, Donald. The problem is
everybody heard everything.
Every time you open your pie hole, shit comes out.
Yeah. And we heard it perfectly.
And I'm sitting there watching him and I'm going, you know what? This is exactly what they had planned. Because at the end of the debate, she hits him on the beauty queen. Now, this is too fucking great. Because I've already said to you, I said to you thousands of times during this, he's crazy. He's a narcissistic sociopath. He can't help it. So, guess what? He took off after the beauty queen that he had a problem with. Now, this beauty queen was the one that Hillary mentioned. Let me get her name right. It's Alicia Mercado. Who was Miss Universe in the year 2000 or 2001, I'm not sure. But he started at 3 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, Donald hadn't taken the sleeping pills or the elephant tranquilizer, whatever
he borrowed. No. He laid a line down along the parquet floor from the front door all the way to the balcony. And he snorted the entire fucking thing.
You know what he said? You know, I swear to God, I see Donald.
Whenever Donald Trump visits Colombia, the white lines disappear from the roadway.
White fever. Taking that Peruvian expressway, Donald. Because I have this vision of Donald sitting in the same set of Scarface at the end. You know, with a huge thing of
He unzips his pants and says hello to my little friend. Yeah.
Let me tell you something about that beauty queen. She was a fucking slut, man. I tell you something. Why don't they make me? I gonna Twitter. Look, I'm gonna Twitter. Goddamn you, motherfucker. Yeah. He's Tony Montana.
And he looks like somebody's hit him in the face with a bag of flour.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Donald, you awake? Yep. Fine. A lot of money, and I'm awake all the time. You do the math. Okay, so here's Donald going after the beauty queen. Too fucking great. Here it is.
Is that what he's going to release?
She, going in, she was trying to get under your skin a couple of times, did she?
No, not at all. I didn't see it that way. At the end, maybe, the very last question, when she brought up the person that became, I know that person. That person was a Miss Universe person, and she was the worst we ever had. The worst, the absolute worst. She was impossible. And she was a Miss Universe contestant and ultimately a winner who they had a tremendously difficult time with as Miss Universe.
Did not know that story.
Well, I didn't know either.
She was the winner, and she gained a massive amount of weight, and it was a real problem. We had a real problem. Not only that, her attitude, and we had a real problem with her. So Hillary went back into the years, and she found this girl. This was many years ago, and found the girl and talked about her like she was Mother Teresa. And it wasn't quite that way, but that's okay. You know, Hillary has to do what she has to do. You know, I see what's happening in the polls. I guess you see I'm tied in Minnesota.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to The Lead. I'm Jake Tapper. Like a moth flying straight into a bright yellow light bulb, the Republican presidential nominee appears unable to keep away from the hazy glow of Twitter for Android. Today marks 39 days until the presidential election, and beginning at 3:20 this morning, Donald Trump began attacking on Twitter the 1996 Miss Universe winner, Alicia Machado, the woman Trump allegedly fat-shamed in 1996, whom Secretary of State Hillary Clinton brought up in Monday night's debate. Now, let's be clear. Raising Alicia Machado's accusations that Trump called her Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping 20 years ago, that was the first step in a Clinton campaign planned line of attack designed to bait Trump into overreacting for days thus potentially alienating women voters and Latino voters and potentially demonstrating to the world that Trump does not have the temperament to be president. The morning after the debate, the Clinton campaign had a web ad ready to go and a conference call with reporters set up with Machado. All they needed was Donald Trump to bite. All they needed was Donald Trump to go after that woman. And he bit.
What a dumb fuck.
Oh, dumb, dumb. And of course he bit. It's like he didn't fly into a light bulb. He flew into the fucking flame.
No, no, because I got to tell you guys, right? Psst, psst, this is Bill here. Remember? Yeah. Bill in the Bill's? Yeah. Bill and Randy show?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. He's crazy. He's off his fucking meds.
But she's
he's
right.
Nuts.
All you have to do is dangle a pork chop out there and he jumps to bite it.
And I said this, you know, I said this is one of the reasons that I thought Bernie would be fantastic. But Hillary's doing a really good job right now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is masterful because she's figured it out.
Yeah.
And all I've said, hit him. Just hit him. Hit him. Keep nudging the cheese off his cracker. Trust me. I'm telling you, he's going to explode.
Are they going to do? Are they doing? How many more debates are they going to do, Willie?
Oh, they've got two more.
Yeah, well, that's the same one. Same thing they did with our money, Romney. They, the first one, everybody said, "Ooh, Obama didn't do very well." Oh,
yeah.
But he actually did. When you look back at them, the three of them were very well paced.
Yeah, they are.
I just have to say, by the end, I just think he's going to just be a sniveling pool of vomit,
blood.
Yeah.
Of blood. Now, let me just add two things just before we end my segment here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is two things. Bloomberg Politics was also looking at Trump this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, related to this. This is great. So he texted this woman. He said, "I tell you, she did a porno. She did a porno."
Yeah, she did a porno. Yeah, yeah.
She did just, a porno. Yeah. Donald Trump started the day Friday talking about sex tapes. At the end of the day, Trump was still facing talk about sex tapes, but not the same one. The Republican presidential nominee tweeted at 3 a.m. about suggested footage that reportedly exists of former Miss Universe Alicia Machado. Mm-hmm. Drawing fire from Hillary Clinton, by the day's end, Trump faced reports that he had briefly appeared in a pornographic video. In 2000.
Probably, yeah. I believe it, yeah.
Oh, my God, this is great. In the 13-second clip posted by BuzzFeed, Trump is seen on the street in New York, fully clothed, surrounded by young women, as he uncorks a bottle and pours it over the bunny ears of Playboy. In the film that he's part of, evidently featured fully nude women posing in sexual positions, dancing naked, touching themselves while naked, touching each other sensually, rubbing honey on themselves, taking a bath,
ooh,
and
honey.
Dressing in costumes.
Ooh, honey. If you don't have a bee allergy, I'll be there. Yeah.
You know, fun. Bring the kids.
I can't wait. Yeah.
And then, no, it gets better.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah, no, really, seriously. This came out from the Huffington Post. In the summer of 1990, at the height of his bitter divorce from his first wife, Donald Trump was carrying on a very public extramarital affair with another former beauty queen, Marla Maples. As part of the couple's divorce proceedings,
And Broadway star, by the way.
And Broadway star. Ivana Trump's lawyers asked him under oath about his dealings with other women, whether he had been faithful to his wife. So he's thinking about attacking Clinton for being unfaithful. Listen to this. Instead of answering, Donald Trump evoked his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination.
How many times?
Over the course of 5 depositions that summer,
yeah.
He was asked approximately 100 questions related to marital infidelity.
Yeah.
He pleaded the Fifth 97 times.
Wow. But what did he say in the other 3?
I don't know. I didn't have any Viagra.
Yeah, no.
I tried to do it.
Yeah, I had
there
a bit of
no
the
one in New York that I haven't fucked up the ass.
Yeah, I had a bit of the Brewer's droop, yeah. That's
97 times.
Really sad.
Yeah. Other than that Girl Scout troop, everything's great. Now, look at Clinton, though. Yeah. You know, it's
One woman who has one child with her husband, who happens to be a philanderer, but that's it.
Who have a great kid, by the way.
He has nine children from three different women.
Absolutely, yes.
And has played around, and he has statutory rape charges against him.
Against him in New York State.
Yeah, for a 13-year-old.
Not only that, but the two people that he chose to go out on the news shows and start forwarding shit about Clinton are Rudy Giuliani.
Oh,
been married three times and literally locked his ex-wife out of the fucking governor's mansion.
And he's a drag queen, yeah.
Who's been married three times and left one of his wives when she was in chemotherapy.
Oh, that's like Andrews, that guy in was it the guy in 2008? Who was having an affair with his Mexican housemaid, and his wife was in palliative care. Who was that?
That was Gingrich.
No, the other one. Andrews? Was it Andrews?
He
was.
Oh, there was another one.
Yeah,
really?
Presidential candidate, yeah.
I'm sorry, I was laughing on the inhale.
Yeah. Oh, Bill.
There is one more I want to drop.
Okay, drop away. Then I've got an incredible revelation. I have a revelation as well. Okay.
In order to avoid admitting cheating on his wife,
yeah?
Donald Trump... No, I got the wrong one. Okay. Here's the one. Okay, this is from Mother Jones.
Yeah.
And it said that the Republican presidential candidate, after that divorce with Ivana Trump, what he did was he praised Islamic or Sharia law.
That's right.
He praised it during a 60-second syndicated national radio commentary called Trumped, that he recorded from 2004 to 2008. In a January 2008 segment, Trump discusses, there's an audio of this, a news story of a Saudi man who had divorced his wife for watching a television show while alone at home because, in Trump's telling, the husband considered it tantamount to being alone with a strange man.
Yeah.
That's our ally. So then Trump said, "It's fantastic, and I shall do it now. Men in Saudi Arabia have the authority to divorce their wives without going to court. I guess that would also mean they don't need prenuptial agreements. Fact is, no courts, no judges. Saudi Arabia sounds like a very good place to get a divorce."
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy that's going to be criticizing Hillary Clinton for being cheated on by Bill.
and staying with him. And having a well-balanced, intelligent daughter. Yeah, Chelsea.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Randy, just to complete it, I know I've taken a lot of time. But just
no,
to
don't.
It,
Bill, it's your show.
But let me tell you something. I have never been more in love with Hillary Clinton than I was in those 90 minutes. Thank you. Fantastic work, Hillary. You know, we slam you when we're angry at you, but I'll tell you, you've earned a lot of points. That was fabulous.
Okay, but I've got to tell
you. There I go.
I have a confession.
Okay.
I was in a porno in college. I wasn't in any of the sex scenes, but...
No, I don't think you would be.
Well, fuck you. Anyway, apparently the college film unit was... pornos on the side to make money. It was the summer of love. It was 1971.
Oh, it was 71. You probably
looked better. And we had a toga party, and I was like the emperor, you know, and eating grapes and everything, and scantily clad women. And then apparently they intercut a lot of naughty bits.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Are we still rolling?
We're so proud to be your. We're so proud to be your news source.
Oh, I thought you'd stop recording.
No. Okay, well, we're going to go to a break right now.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, we're going to a break, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back in just a moment with Randy's Rant.
Okay.
Now, here comes the music.
And welcome back to the first presidential debate. Mr. Trump, let's get back to what you were saying about Secretary Clinton's makeup. You mentioned she's been a little heavy on the eyeliner lately.
Is that okay? Good. I want you to be very happy. It's very important to me. But in all fairness to Secretary Clinton, she's been doing this for 30 years.
Do you need a tissue?
What's happened to our jobs and our country and our economy generally is, look, we owe $20 trillion. We cannot do it any longer. I am very underleveraged. I have a great company. I have a tremendous income. And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way. It's because...
Braggadocious? Is that even a word?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Super callous, fragile, egocentric, braggadocious. Likes to throw big words around and hopes that we all notice. If he keeps repeating them, they might just make him POTUS. Super careless, fragile, ego, extra braggadocious. Are you really gonna vote for this guy? You're really gonna vote for this guy? Are you really gonna vote for this guy? Are you really gonna vote for this guy? He says that he's the man and thinks he's got the Midas touch. But does he have a plan to fix the country?
Not so much.
And if you're not convinced by all of that hyperbole, he says shut up, just buy a stupid hat and vote for me. Hey, super careless, fragile, that's why Hillary's relaxed. This time Bill Clinton might as well sit back and play the saxes. Wife erased her emails and now Trump wants total access. Then once hell has frozen over, he'll release his taxes. Are you really gonna vote for this guy? 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 He found a word that sounded smart and used it all day long, but even Webster's dictionary said he got it wrong. So if you're undecided or you hate the other sex, remember in November how he likes to sign his checks. It's super sleazy, fabricating, sexist and obnoxious. Even just the thought of voting for him makes me nauseous. If you like America, you'll keep him out of office. Superficial, chauvinistic, arrogant and thoughtless. Are you really gonna vote for this guy? Who the hell's gonna vote for this guy? Of course you can say it backwards, which is docious, braggocentric, ego, fragic, hella stupid.
Did you ask me a question?
Nope, I didn't say anything.
So when his words escape him and he hasn't got a prayer, he's feeling kinda dizzy cause he sucked up all that air. He better keep his guard up because she might take a swing.
And you know what else I prepared for? I prepared to be president. And I think that's a good thing.
Wait a minute, did you just hand him his ass and quote Martha Stewart? Yes, bitch. Excuse me, I mean, secretary bitch.
Super calculated, adolescent, braggadocious. If you hate both nominees, remember he's the grossest. Meanwhile, look at Jill and Gary sipping on mimosas. Super callous, fragile, egocentric, braggadocious.
I think I did a good job.
Super callous, fragile, egocentric, braggadocious.
Okay, you need to stop that.
It's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Just all gather round. And it's Randy's Rant. Randy, what do you got?
I'm wearing tassels this time.
Are you?
Yeah, I've got my moobs going in concentric circles.
Jesus Christ. First the porn, then this. Jesus Christ.
Once seen, it cannot be unseen. That's ladies right. And gentlemen, I'm back and I'm ranting. And I've got, again, I can't get enough of this guy. I have more of Keith Olbermann's reasons not to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing series. These are just priceless. There are 176 of them. We've only been through about 40 of them.
That's right.
And I've got another I've got another segment tonight. I can't get enough of this guy. He just says it all.
That's right.
So if you'd like to listen to my good friend Keith, he will tell you exactly why you should not even consider voting for Donald Trump and Mr. Pence.
Part two of Keith Olbermann on GQ. That is the new web series that Keith Olbermann has. Here it is.
The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who lied about opposing the war in Iraq when there is a tape of him supporting it, a tape recorded on the first anniversary of 9/11, who lied about opposing the war in Iraq during a speech in which he insisted, "I will never lie to you," who lied about $6 million in charitable donations to veterans groups from his telethon, who lied about donating his profits from The Apprentice, about charitable donations from The Celebrity Apprentice, from Trump the Game, and to St. Jude Cancer Center, who lied about a plan to debate Bernie Sanders for charity, who lied about why he would not release his taxes because he was being audited, and then proved himself a liar by saying he would release his taxes if Secretary Clinton released emails, who lied about how much money his father gave him, helping him to get out of college, who lied about sending his private jet to ferry stranded U.S. servicemen, who lied about talking to the Attorney General of Florida, who declined to investigate Trump University after she had been given a campaign donation, who lied about his business in Russia, who lied about meeting Russian President Putin, who lied about offering child care to his employees when it was child care for his hotel guests, who lied about some people wanting a moment of silence for the murderer of five Dallas policemen, who lied about seeing thousands of Muslims in New Jersey celebrating 9/11, who lied about 9/11 hijackers sending their wives and girlfriends home to Saudi Arabia, who lied about thousands of Syrian refugee terrorists being secretly admitted to this country, who lied about the Chicago police urging him to cancel a rally, who lied about the Chicago police saying they could solve crime there with tough police tactics, who lied about how there was no drought in California, how he never said Japan should have nuclear weapons, how he opposed the ouster of Egyptian President Mubarak, how the unemployment rate is 42%. Who lied about ISIS making millions a week in selling Libyan oil, who lied about dozens of secret terrorist cases in this country, who lied that a protester who tried to rush onto his stage had ties to ISIS, who lied last May and again last week about refugees entering this country carrying cell phones with ISIS flags on them and phone plans prepaid by ISIS. Can you hear me now? The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who congratulated himself in two tweets and a press release for predicting terrorist attacks like Orlando while bodies still lay in the Pulse nightclub, who congratulated himself after the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, who congratulated himself on predicting Brexit, even though 3 weeks earlier he had never heard of Brexit, who congratulated himself on Republican convention TV ratings, even though those for his closing speech were lower than John McCain's, who congratulated himself by disseminating a video showing how much of that speech's total running time was taken up by applause, who congratulated himself on having the world's greatest memory, then 3 weeks later testified in a deposition he had no memory of ever saying that. The Republican Party has actually nominated for president a man who has proposed that Russia or China should enact a Watergate-like hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails, who has proposed banning Muslims from entering this country, then said it was only a suggestion, then proposed it again, whose running mate has proposed banning members of other religions, who has proposed open racial profiling, who has proposed banning people from terror nations, saying, look it up, they have a list, who has proposed ideological certification for immigrants, who has proposed worse than waterboarding while praising how Saddam Hussein, Vladimir Putin, and Kim Jong-un handled protest and terrorism, who has proposed that American civilians be tried by military commissions at Gitmo, who has proposed killing the families of terrorists or suspected terrorists, a man who has proposed teaching mandatory patriotism in school, proposed that his supporters appoint themselves as Election Day voting monitors, proposed making American protection of fellow NATO members COD, whose campaign proposed purging the government of all Obama appointees, proposed avoiding government debt by printing more money, proposed reducing national debt by paying less than we agreed to, proposed forestalling new financial regulations by executive order, and then in the same speech, proposed eliminating some executive orders. a man who has proposed a wall along the Mexican border to keep out undocumented immigrants, proposed mass deportation of undocumented immigrants, proposed a smaller wall and fewer deportations during a taped TV interview that played at the same moment he was giving a speech in Phoenix, insisting on a larger wall and more deportations. A man who has proposed immediately expelling at least 2 to 3 million undocumented immigrants, even though this would be like trying to evacuate the city of Chicago in one day. Proposed immediately expelling any others not convicted but merely accused of a crime. A man who has proposed to enact all this by executive action, bypassing Congress, even though he employed undocumented immigrants himself in the building of Trump Tower, even though those immigrants say he not only knew of them, but hired them personally, even though his own modeling agency and television shows enabled and employed undocumented immigrants, even though his own wife may have worked here without proper documentation, even though his own grandfather was reportedly not merely a fraudulent emigrant to this country, but was also denied re-entry to Germany because he was a draft dodger.
And that's not the whole thing, by the way.
No, that's only about half. I think within the next 2 weeks, it's just going to be glorious. It's going to be, you know.
Oh, well, I hope so, man. Don't underestimate this. But the thing is that he's the cheese is going off Donald's cracker.
Was there ever any cheese? Was there ever any cracker?
He's a thoroughly evil pig. This is just too beautiful. But I'll tell you, Oberman's piece is just fantastic. They're footnotes to everything.
But he's
okay.
Yes,
you can go there. That's all footnoted. That's all fact.
He's fact checked himself. There are links to every single thing he says.
Every single thing he says has a link that you can go to, and it's confirmed by national sources, by recordings this guy makes.
Yeah.
This guy, oh my God, it's I've never seen anything.
Yeah, Keith Olbermann has got to be the best political commentator of the age, and he was so wasted when MSNBC put him into sports, you know?
Yeah, he was a lefty. And let's not forget, as soon as Hillary wins, we're going back on the pushing for the things that she promised. Now, I'm not fitting out the curtains.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
I'm not fitting out the curtains for the White House, though. I know that Democrats can screw
things
up.
Oh, no, not the
Mamie
Eisenhower curtains.
Yeah, that's right. No, no, there's still 30 days. Trust me, I've seen it. I've seen this guy come back from the dead, but I'm enjoying it so far. What else you got, Randy?
Oh, look, you know, I've got my little mini segment of the religious extremist of the week, and I've got a beauty. You know, last week, have you cleaned up all the vomit from your studio?
Yeah.
Because when Donald Trump mentioned quoted scripture, and
Donald Trump was doing the gospel thing.
Yeah, and
I just couldn't
you
do
think
it,
that
man.
Was well? I decided we needed a good follow up to that. So,
a lot of
people, religious men, including several evangelical Christian pastors. Decided to exorcise Donald Trump. Exorcise. Okay.
Exorcise.
They've decided that there was going to be a satanic attack against Donald Trump. So they had a laying on of hands. I'll tell you what, if I laid on hands, I would have probably punched him in the face.
Yeah, yes.
But these guys actually stood around him. They stood around him with their eyes closed and laid their hands on Donald Trump. And that's my religious extremist of the week.
Did they shower afterwards?
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, here is Randy's religious extremist of the week for show 159. Here it is.
Lay hands on him, and she's going to pray. I want you to stretch forth your hands. I really want you to intercede on his behalf. Years ago, when we first met him, he was considering running for president. There was a great preacher there. I don't want to say his name, but he is nationally known. And he said something to you. I don't know if you remember. He said, I want you to understand, Mr. Trump, that if you choose to run for president, there's going to be a concentrated satanic
So we're going to pray for him.
Let's stretch our hands right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you raise up a man for such a time as this. God, we ask you right now that your choice is this choice. We believe, Lord God, that you ordain things. You said all authority is of you. Now, God, I ask that you would touch this man, Donald J. Trump. Give him the anointing to lead this nation. We thank you, God, that as a room full of clergy, a room full of leaders, a room full of business owners, mothers, wives, husbands, fathers, we ask for help, and we ask you, God, to let that help be in the form of the next president, Mr. Donald J. Trump. We ask you, God, to bless him, keep him safe, give him the wisdom and the strength to lead this great nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love some crazy.
Yeah, I don't think any amount of wine and crackers, wine and communion wafers, is going to save that man's ass.
No. You see, you're really overestimating Trump, because I don't think you're going to need Satan to defeat him. I think since he is Satan, he's kind of defeating himself.
I was going to say he is the Satan. He is the rise of Satan.
He is.
He's got flame coming out of his ass.
He's Greg Stilson in the Dead Zone. Trust me. Read the Stephen King. It's him. Anyway, we're gonna finish up with some great tinfoil hats. Plus, we have the tinfoil hat that's been sent to us from one of our listeners, Randy.
And I have a hero of the week. That will bring a tear to your eye. I promise.
Fantastic. Okay, listen. We'll be back with tinfoil hats after a comedy bit. Right after this message, kids.
On Tuesday, November 8th, this country will make one of the most important... The most important decisions in its history.
You have a chance.
You have an obligation.
To be a part of that decision.
You might think it's not important. You might think you're not important.
But that's not true. And the only way we can prove that to you is by having lots of famous people.
Lots of famous people.
Lots and lots of famous people.
Just a shit ton of famous people.
Repeating how important.
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 How important it is.
Register.
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 Vote.
There's so many famous people.
Some of us aren't as famous, but still pretty famous.
Like, you've seen us somewhere.
Sometimes a not famous person will be mixed in with the famous ones.
They drive the message home.
Because of their unpolished sincerity.
Their unpolished sincerity.
But you only get this many famous people together if the issue is
one that truly matters to all of us.
A disease or
ecological crisis or
a racist, abusive coward who could permanently damage the fabric of our society.
Do the math. Do we really want to give nuclear weapons to a man whose signature move is firing?
Firing?
Firing things?
But we can end this nightmare before it begins.
We can save the day.
For our children.
For our children.
For our children.
For our communities.
For our communities.
For
our communities.
For America.
For America.
For America.
All it takes is all of us.
All of us.
All of us.
We cannot pretend both sides are equally unfavorable.
We can't say one vote doesn't matter.
Your vote matters.
Your vote matters.
It affects everything.
Not just the presidency, but the Senate.
The House.
Your local officials.
Immigration.
Immigrant.
Student debt.
Common sense gun laws.
The Supreme Court. See, this isn't just an election. It's a tipping point.
For the country.
For the world.
For your world.
If you don't know how or where to register,
go to savetheday.vote.
Savetheday.vote.
Make yourself heard.
Tell the world that you care about what happens to it.
And if you do vote
and help protect this country from fear and ignorance,
Mark will do a nude scene in his next movie.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo will do a nude scene in his next movie.
Wait, what? What?
Mark will do a nude scene.
Mark's gonna have his dick out.
Full Monty.
Full Marky.
No. Go to savetheday.vote. Where nobody talked about.
Save the day.
Make Mark be naked.
By making your mark on November 8th.
They should just vote because it matters, you know? Don't you think?
We're all in this together.
That's why the most popular or memorable actor is the last one you see.
Really?
Yeah, really.
We talked about it last night. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton faced off in their first debate, and today the consensus seems clear on who won, which prompted Donald Trump's supporters to look for excuses. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Before the debate even started, it was clear to many there was a double standard in what was expected of each candidate, like this from conservative pundit Hugh Hewitt.
I think the pressure is actually on Secretary Clinton. She has so many things she can't do. She cannot cough. She cannot laugh with the distinctive Hillary laugh. She cannot shout like she did at her supporters last week. And she cannot condescend. On the other hand, Donald Trump just has to be affable.
So she can't laugh, she can't cough, she can't shout or condescend. Basically, she has to act like a ninja bank robber weaving through a grid of red lasers. Meanwhile, Trump just has to be a C-plus Walmart greeter. So based on the expectations his own supporters helped set, all Trump had to do was be a normal person and he would have been declared the winner. And yet he still managed to lose. Even Fox News had to glumly admit that he lost, although they did have plenty of excuses.
If the rest of the debate he had been as good in the first 11 or 20 minutes, however you want to count for it, he would have won that debate. We might be looking at a different race.
The most critical point of any debate, particularly last night, was the first 30 minutes when people were really tuned in. Those were Donald Trump's best minutes.
Hillary was mean, nasty, personal.
She looked, I think, for the most part, she looked composed, smug sometimes, not necessarily attractive.
She didn't look attractive. Last night, Donald Trump's face looked like someone was making a fist inside a sock puppet. But even in his worst moments, Trump had a best bud to fall back on. You might remember last night, Trump continued to falsely claim he opposed the Iraq War and cited one Fox host in particular who he said could prove it, if people would just call him.
Everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. Nobody wants to call him. Nobody calls Sean Hannity. If somebody would call up Sean Hannity...
He sounds like Hannity's Jewish mother trying to set him up on a date. Why don't you call him? He's a nice boy. He has his own TV show. You're not getting any younger. Now, after the debate, of course, there's the time-honored tradition of candidates leaving the stage and embracing their loved ones. And Trump was no different, rushing directly into the arms of the only person who truly understood him.
We've got Trump speaking to our own Sean Hannity.
And it makes sense that Trump went to Sean Hannity because Hannity was one of the few people who thought Trump actually won this debate.
A very good night for Donald Trump. I thought Trump was very articulate. He was himself, but he didn't fall into the trap. He could have hit her so hard that everybody in that audience would have gone, ooh.
They would have been like, ooh. Which makes sense because Trump is the Jerry Springer show of candidates. Although Hannity didn't always get help from his guests, like when he asked former candidate Ben Carson for his take on the debate.
What's your take on the general reaction to the debate?
Are you asking me, Sean?
Can you hear me?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Ben Carson must have been such a mess in school plays. Where art thou, Romeo? Romeo! Ben, huh? Nonetheless, Trump seemed to take his cues from Hannity, bragging this morning that he'd won the debate and citing several online polls. He said he won to prove it.
Every poll, I won Slate. I won Drudge. I got almost 90% of the vote in the poll. I won Time Magazine. I won CBS.
That's right. He won CBS, which is news to CBS, as their chief White House correspondent tweeted this morning, quote, Donald Trump said he won a CBS News post-debate poll. We did not conduct a post-debate poll. Come on, CBS, let him have this one thing. You had a very hard night, this poor man. Trump's biggest problem was his own lack of preparation. He couldn't even be bothered to prepare for the most important 90 minutes of his campaign, and it showed. Like, for example, on terrorism. He could have tried to engage in a serious debate about ISIS and how to defeat it. Instead, he got into this back and forth with Hillary.
Well, at least I have a plan to fight ISIS. Prosperity.
No, no, you're telling the enemy everything you want to do.
No, we're not.
See, you're telling the enemy everything you want to do. No wonder you've been fighting. No wonder you've been fighting ISIS your entire adult life.
That's right. She's been fighting ISIS her entire adult life. Which led to this fact check from the Associated Press. One of the better fact checks in history. Hillary Clinton was born in 1947 and is 68 years old. She reached adulthood in 1965. The Islamic State group grew out of an al-Qaeda spinoff, al-Qaeda in Iraq, in 2013. Yeah. Although, I guess it's not surprising someone had to explain to Trump when adulthood begins, since he still hasn't reached it. And then there was this moment, when Trump claimed the hack earlier this year of the Democratic National Committee might not have been committed by Russia.
I don't think anybody knows it was Russia that broke into the DNC. She's saying Russia, 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 but I don't, maybe it was. I mean, it could be Russia, but it could also be China. It could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Wow. Trump is so superficial, he even fat-shamed a dude he just made up. China. Why did he say it like that? Could be Russia, it could be China. But maybe the most insane answer Trump gave was his answer on cyber warfare. Now, I feel like we have a tendency to get lost in Trump's showmanship, his performance. So we've been doing something on the show lately where we read his answers rather than watch him say them. So I'm just going to flatly read to you Trump's answer on hacking and the topic of cyber warfare. These are his words. Quote, when you look at what ISIS is doing with the internet, they're beating us at our own game, ISIS. So we have to get very, very tough on cyber and cyber warfare. It is a huge problem. I have a son. He's 10 years old. He has computers. He is so good with these computers. It's unbelievable. The security aspect of cyber is very, very tough. We are not doing the job we should be doing. But that's true throughout our whole governmental society. We have so many things that we have to do better, Lester, and certainly cyber is one of them. He talks about tech like Lenny Briscoe in a 20-year-old episode of Law & Order. We got a warrant for your floppies. But there was another revealing moment last night that I feel like might get lost in all the post-debate chatter. Trump basically admitted that he pays no federal income taxes. He's refused to release his tax returns. So we don't know how much of anything he pays in taxes, but I think he may have tipped his hand with these exchanges last night.
He didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid, you haven't paid any federal income tax for a lot of years. And the other thing I think is important.
It would be squandered too, believe me.
Oh, the government would squander your money? Says the guy who covers his penthouse in gold like an old prospector who just won the lottery. But if you were paying close attention, you might have caught that it would be squandered. Trump basically just admitted he doesn't pay any federal income taxes. In the end, even if you're a Trump supporter, you have to admit last night was not a great night for the GOP nominee. He could have said a lot of unanswered questions if he just released tax returns. And if he'd done it last night,
everybody in that audience would have gone, ooh.
This has been A Closer Look.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
And welcome, everybody, for show 159. Yes, we have tinfoil hats.
Yeah, we have them every week because
we do.
It's hard. It's hard.
Brought to us by Alcoa, the friendly foil.
Oh, Reynolds Wrap. Yeah.
Reynolds Wrap.
It keeps on keeping on. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how hard it is to select tinfoil hats because there are a lot of really stupid people out there.
Well, I think that Donald Trump is the preeminent tinfoil hat.
Well, you know what? You know what? I think I can do better than Donald Trump as the preeminent tinfoil hat.
Oh, my God.
I've actually got some of the people who are going to vote for him.
No!
At a Trump rally.
Oh, God.
Yeah, people in line at a Trump rally. And this is actually from Trevor Noah. He had one of his people out there. And he interviewed some of the people in line. And so I thought my tinfoil hat of the week it poses the question, how stupid are Trump voters really?
They're pretty fucking stupid.
Well, play the tape. You know? Play the
They're
tape.
They're pretty fucking stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, the fish in the bowl. and Randy has a shotgun. Here it is from the Daily Show. Trump supporters for his tinfoil hat 159.
It turns out Trump's followers sort of predicted Hillary's health problems before they were revealed. I went to a Trump rally to find out what else they know that the rest of us don't.
What do you think's going on?
It could be Parkinson's. It could be MS.
It could be AIDS.
What makes you think she has AIDS?
The way her husband used to be.
So you think Bill had AIDS?
Yes.
So how did Bill Clinton get AIDS?
Probably messing around with Magic Johnson.
That's the natural conclusion?
Yes.
Interesting. The Clintons and Magic Johnson. What else do they know?
They're saying there's like a double of her.
Yeah, do you think there was a Hillary Clinton double?
Yeah.
Wow, a Clinton double. Who knew? So I printed out two identical photos to see if they could see what we couldn't.
Which one's the body double?
I'd say that one.
Well, what is it about this one that makes you think it's not Hillary Clinton?
That little thing on her cheek is very obvious, and the scarring or whatever this is down in her throat is different.
They look a ton alike, right?
Looks a little bit younger.
You think this looks younger?
Yeah.
But don't you think if you just look at something for long enough and you kind of have a paranoid mind, eventually you'll find a difference and make a big deal of it?
I think something like that's possible. Yeah.
Uncovering Hillary's doubles is one thing, but what could they tell us about our current commander-in-chief?
Barack Obama is a Muslim. He's a terrorist. Nobody will ever tell me different.
We don't even know if he's a citizen.
Yeah, if you don't look at the birth certificate, there's almost no evidence there.
Exactly.
So there's nothing Barack Obama could do to prove that he was born here.
If there was maybe witnesses that were attendants at his birth.
Like his mother? Do you listen to his mother?
No. She has motivation to lie.
So you don't trust Donald Trump's birth certificate either?
Yeah, because he's been here forever.
Well, how do you know? What's your proof?
Well, his parents and...
But they're biased. I'm talking about like people who could be in the room.
Why would they be biased?
Well, like, I'm just using your logic against you.
Okay.
He acts like a Muslim. He talks like a Muslim. He also does the Muslim principles as far as jewelry is concerned.
Jewelry?
Yeah, jewelry. Certain months of the year, not wearing his wedding ring.
That's a deep cut. You want me to connect your necklace to your Christianity?
Why would you do that?
Well, you just taught me it. I didn't even know people were connecting jewelry to religion.
Muslims don't wear...
Is that a Jew watch? And one of the most unbelievable discoveries yet.
Barack Obama had big part of 9/11.
Which part?
Not being around, always on vacation, never in the office.
Why do you think Barack Obama wasn't in the Oval Office on 9/11?
That I don't know. We'd like to get to the bottom of that.
Wow. Mind blown. And best of all, they can back up these so-called conspiracies with ironclad sources. And what's your source?
Just Facebook or Twitter. I mean, everything.
So you'll look at, like, facts and bullshit, and you'll put it all together.
Exactly.
So outside of having no proof, what proof do you have?
I don't have any.
You don't have any proof?
My opinion.
Your opinion.
Do I have proof? No. Do I have articles? No.
But your mind is made up without any information.
My mind is made up.
Good enough for me.
Oh, dude.
Why wasn't Obama in the office on 9/11? Oh, God, I'd like to get to the bottom of that. Because he was in Florida reading a book to a bunch of kindergarten students.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you always want to kind of like, you're sitting here on the podcast, going, and I remember a couple of weeks ago, we sat there and said, we may sound arrogant, and we are. You're dumb as shit. You're just, it's a miracle that your brains create enough energy for you to move those two spindly legs that are mounted on kegs of beer. Yeah. You are fucking
I won't believe his mother because she has reason to lie, but Trump's parents, well, why would they lie?
Oh, man. These people are having children.
And they really vote.
Seriously, think about this. Huh?
And they vote.
And they vote.
Yeah.
Like lemmings, they vote. And by the way, we've been sitting here gloating about how bad Trump was. Vote. God damn it.
It's the vote. Only you way still you can need to vote. It's garlic to a vampire. You've got to vote.
The way we lose this, and we could still do it, is if everyone stays home because he just plays dead.
Yeah.
No, you know, you got to vote. So if you're overseas, remember, votefromabroad.org, votefromabroad.org. I voted. Randy's voted. I want each and every one of you to go to votefromabroad.org and register and vote against this fucking, because I want them buried.
Well, there have been several articles that are, there are 8 million American voters abroad.
That's right.
If even half of them vote, that's quite a lot.
What was the difference in the 2000 election?
500 votes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the next one, so, and the next one, it was an electoral college. Well, they were both electoral college things.
Yeah.
Florida was lost by 600 votes, say.
You have to vote.
Absolutely. And the other one was Ohio, which was only by 1%. In 2004, tell me about
it. So, we've lost these before when we thought we had them won. And by the way, a week ago, it was tied. I personally think that as these polls come out, we're going to see as long as Trump is off his meds, we're all right. Yeah. You know, because God knows what shit is going to come out.
If somebody gets him on a tweet rant again by just pulling his chain just a little bit.
We got to do that.
And that's all it takes. That's all it takes.
You know who evidently reportedly, I think it was AP or one of the news agencies, said there was rumors that Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, yeah.
The satanic bitch from hell that we talked about last week. She may be on the way out.
Because she said he was unfaithful or some such shit.
Well, no, she basically has righted this entire, because she's an evil genius. Yeah. She sounds reasonable. But then I have to watch this woman swallow her soul, which she has none, and try to clean up after this fucking.
But you know, what?
And it's very entertaining.
Another thing that comes out is Ivanka, his daughter, with Ivana Trump. Mm. Ivanka is really fed up with his, you know, things about younger women. And she confronted him once. Apparently it's come out. Yeah. And he promised her he would never go for anybody younger than her. And I think that was when she was like 15 or something.
That was when she was in.
And he's even come out and admitted.
That was when she was in the placenta. Yeah.
And that was even. And he even admitted that when Paris Hilton was 12.
Yeah,
We're friend of the Hiltons, you know, because we have hotels. And this girl walks into the room, and she was stunning. She was stunning. Yeah. Yeah. And it was Paris. It was Paris Hilton. And she's 12 years old. My God.
I'll tell you, I'm taking my kid to school. I wouldn't let that guy. Oh, my God. Oh, he's such a slime ball. He is. He's such a slime ball. Anyway.
Let's have your tip for her.
My tinfoil hat. My tinfoil hat was something I saw on CNN.
Ooh.
And I got to stop watching it because it hurts me so much when I do. Scotty Nelly Hughes is one of the blonde bimbos because they couldn't get Kellyanne. So they get one. They all look alike. I swear to God.
They all have three names.
Yeah, I have this image of Gregory Peck in, like, Boys from Brazil going, we shall make more blondes, you know? And so they do. They come out. Now, Kellyanne Conway, that's right.
Yeah.
Scott Nelly Hughes was the Kellyanne Conway on CNN. And they brought up to her the fact that Trump is continually attacking this beauty queen, of course, the one we mentioned earlier, who is a former Miss Universe. This is what Scotty Nelly Hughes said to CNN in response to Trump's attacks on this poor woman who's a beauty contestant who he called a pig. Here it is. This is great. Hold on.
Alicia Machado just did an interview with Anderson Cooper that said it was repeated abuse, that he repeatedly humiliated her. She was 19 years old.
Let's listen to part of the interview from Anderson. Here it is.
That is the story that I need to share we can't accept more insults for my Latin community. No more. No more insults for the women.
You said that
I know very well, Mrs. Trump.
You said that he had called you.
And I can see the same person that I met 20 years ago.
So Miss Piggy, she, you know, this one likes to eat, and then went on to call her, according to her, Miss Housekeeping. Are those appropriate remarks, Scotty?
Well, absolutely not. But last night I was insulted by Hillary Clinton sitting there talking about Donald Trump
wanting
Donald Trump wanting to always being around beautiful women in pageants and kind of throwing it to the wayside like that was an insult of him actually appreciating. 40 women have been given scholarships, have won pageants since Mr. Trump has taken it on. He actually appreciates and respects women to a high extent. One out of 40 he had a problem with, and this is the first one who came out. No man should ever make those comments, but those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And I think this cookie is going to crumble real quickly as we find out more about her history, her past. We've already talked about a judge that she threatened down in Mexico, a Playboy magazine that she did. She had a problem with a fiance that broke up with her after she was on a reality show and slept with one of our housemates. This is not the model. I want my daughter.
Are you blaming the victim, Scotty?
She's sitting here saying, you know, I will not take this abuse because she was called one name. Get over it. Let's look at the life of your actions. And you're saying that you want to be an example for women growing up. But look at the actions you've had even recently. And I think that's why this cookie is going to crumble. And I would not suggest the Hillary Clinton campaign continue to promote this unless this, we want to bring everything out.
Good.
Scotty Nellie Hughes gets the kids.
I'm glad I had my tinfoil hat on.
Kids, could you come on out? I want a cheer squad thing. There you go, Scotty.
Yeah, she deserves
it. That's the kids giving you a cheer for being the most fucking.
We're not supposed to use that word anymore.
You know, this is it. I said the C word. I don't give a shit. You are the disgusting piece of slime. You are the worst piece of shit. Yeah. You are a woman going after another woman. You're going after someone who was basically humiliated by this pig, and you're prepared to throw everything in her life up against her because you have no soul. And you are a... I'm sorry. Yeah. You are the most disgusting piece of shit. I sat there screaming. I could not believe it. Go ahead.
Can we use the clown horn?
I'll use the clown horn on that.
Okay.
I know. It's terrible. It was terrible what I said. I it was edited. But I cannot believe that another woman... would betray her gender so cavalierly and just sit there and say, well, we didn't say anything about the 15 things in her life. Hey, maybe if she doesn't shut up, we'll just have to get private investigators and investigate her. Fuck you, you cow. You disgusting whore. You are a disgusting whore.
But to threaten... I mean, like, and Newt Gingrich saying he was the perfect gentleman for not bringing up Bill's infidelities. Yeah,
you know what? Go fuck yourself, okay?
Yeah.
And by the way...
Bring him up!
Scotty Nellie Hughes, you are an absolute piece of shit. Absolutely one of the lowest things I've heard in this election. Okay, so you have a hero.
I have a hero of the week. And I'd really like to use this because when I heard this, I thought, oh, yeah, bleeding heart, whatever. This actually affected me quite a bit. Now, in the end of September, September 20th, a little boy wrote a letter to Barack Obama, 6-year-old Alex.
Yeah.
Wrote a letter asking the president if the little boy and his family could provide a home for that refugee that we saw in the back of the ambulance.
Right, absolutely.
The one that was covered in dirt and blood. Yeah. Now, that shocked people as much as the little boy washing ashore.
Yes.
The refugee trying to get from Turkey to Greece.
To Greece, yeah.
But this was actually in Aleppo.
Yeah.
Or
as Gary Johnson calls it, I don't know.
What's Aleppo, yeah. But this little boy in the back of that ambulance was from Aleppo. His name was Omram.
Yeah.
And he became an iconic image of the actual war in Syria, not the refugee crisis. Now, this little boy wrote this letter, wrote it in by hand, and the letter is online, and it is just incredible. Now, he wrote the letter to Obama, put it in an envelope, and it was set off. And Obama was at the leader summit on refugees that week.
Yep.
And he actually brought the letter out of his pocket to all the world leaders and read it to them.
Okay.
Now, I thought, nah, this is just a setup, but it just so moved me. I had to include this in our show because this is the part of politics that we don't see, and the power of the word and the power of the words of a six-year-old boy.
Okay, here it is.
So,
Randy's hero for the week.
Hero forever. Hero little Alex, 6-year-old Alex.
Little 6-year-old Alex. Here it is.
Dear President Obama, remember the boy who was picked up by the ambulance in Syria? Can you please go get him and bring him to our home? Park in the driveway or on the street, and we'll be waiting for you guys with flags, flowers, and balloons. We will give him a family, and he will be our brother. Catherine, my little sister, will be collecting butterflies and fireflies for him. In my school, I have a friend from Syria, Omar, and I will introduce him to Omar, and we can all play together. We can invite him to birthday parties, and he will teach us another language. Since he won't bring toys and doesn't have toys, Catherine will share her big blue strawberry white bunny, and I will share my bike, and I will teach him how to ride it. I will teach him
addition and subtraction. Those are the words of a 6-year-old boy. He teaches us a lot. The humanity that a young child can display, who hasn't learned to be cynical or suspicious or fearful of other people because of where they're from or how they look or how they pray, we can all learn from Alex.
Alex, 6 years old.
Ah, that's great, Randy. That's just great.
You know, when you see the letter, you know how kids, we both have children, you know how six-year-olds write, and it's how hard it is for them. And this little boy expresses himself just so well.
Yeah.
And he's looking at that picture of that little Syrian boy sitting dazed in the back of the ambulance after being bombed in Aleppo, covered in blood and dust. And he sat there looking at this picture, and he lives near New York with a mom and a dad and a little sister named Catherine, and he just sat down to Obama and wrote this letter.
Yeah.
His parents say they didn't
make him do it,
didn't even ask him to do it. He just says, I'm going to write to Obama, the president, and ask him to do this.
Yeah.
And we'll be waiting with flags and flowers and balloons. We'll give him a family, and he will become my brother.
Yeah.
And Catherine will teach him, you know, how to do things, and I'll teach him how to speak English. He can even smell her lip gloss, which is green. And I mean, just trivia.
Well, you know,
the thing is, it was so heartfelt, what we
so often see. And you know something, I was very hard on the Trump supporters, and I always am. Mm. But you know something. People have to be taught to be stupid, and people have to be taught to be bad, you know, just racist.
What's that song that nearly got Rodgers and Hammerstein in trouble from South Pacific? You have to be carefully taught.
You have to be carefully taught these things. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, the people that believe like Trump, people don't start out that way, you know, because I teach, you know, I've taught kids before. I like working with kids because whatever you think, there's no bullshit in it. You know, I mean, there's very little bullshit. And they start out good. You know, they start out really good because the natural proclivity they have is social and fairness. And how many kids you turn around and say, well, that's not fair, because they have a natural feeling of what is fair. And they're not clouded by law.
And when he says, look, and he actually talks through Obama, he's not talking to the little boy. He says, please tell him that his brother will be Alex, who is a very kind boy just like him.
He
won't bring toys. He doesn't have toys. So Catherine has already said she'll share her big white bunny.
Yeah.
I mean, this just tore my guts right out of my chest.
Well, I'd be very curious as to find out what actually did happen to that child. But listen,
his brother did die. Yeah. His parents were dead.
Yeah, I know.
I'll follow up next week.
Trump's favorite buddy, Vladimir Putin. He's the guy
probably dropped that bomb.
Yeah, yeah. Well, though, he's either bought that bomb or I think it was Amnesty International came out with the fact that 9,000 so far in the last two months have died as a result of Russian airstrikes.
Bombs and aggression, yeah.
That's right. So good on you, Donald. Great guy to be friends with.
I'm sorry to sort of end on a downer, which is really an upper.
No.
But
listen, we're gonna do our Jonesy Award next week because we're running a bit late. But we do have one. So we got one this week, and Joseph, if you're out there, Joseph is from from Seattle, Washington.
Oh.
And Joseph sent us a one that we're going to use next
another
week.
Marijuana state, yeah.
Yeah, I know. A lot of time on his hands, Joe. Good on you. So anyway, well, listen, that's our show for 159. 159 to add there, ladies Randy. And
gentlemen. What's that?
What? Anything to add there? Yeah, just the whistle. Listen, if you want to talk to us, you can. TheBillsShow.net, everything Bill Show in one place. And, of course, expatprogressive.podbean.com. That's our address. And the Bills on XPR at gmail.com if you have any entries for our Jonesy competition. We love you all. Thank you for joining us for our post-debate wrap-up. See you next time.
See you guys.
Happy trails to you
until we meet again. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you.